For someone who identifies as directionless and unambitious, stand-up comedian Maurice Gohan keeps pretty busy between performing every night at this year's Edinburgh Fringe, gigging at her regular spots in Dublin, and finishing her book. Her show Drowning, which deals with mental health, was nominated for 2 awards at the Dublin Fringe, but has yet to find its final form, according to the comedian. Culturefile met Maurice Gohan to talk comedy and mental health, as well as everything she's learned about dating in Hollywood. Anya Gallagher's report contains adult struggles and adult language from the very, very start.
This is just my voice. It's very irritating. Thank you. Like, a stroke victim has got more pizzazz than this.
I think to be good at comedy, it's like you have to be kind of fucked up. There's no real reward in comedy. It's not like, oh, you know, and the best people become these like rock stars. Most people don't do that well. Other people don't know them outside of comedy. And also you just get rejection all the time. So I think you have to have this like weird desire for constant attention that you're willing to put yourself through that. My name is Maurice Gohan and I'm a comedian.
Your most recent show is called Drowning.
Yeah, it's a story of like mental illness. So like my dad, who killed himself, was like, surprise, very mentally ill. And I feel like we always focus on like the suicide when someone does it. I feel like we just lie all the time where it's like, I had no idea. I had no idea he was going to do that. But like happy people don't kill themselves. When he died, it wasn't this big shock. It was this thing that we kind of expected for almost my whole life. But I guess as well, the show looks at just how much of me is him being your father's daughter when your father was someone who was very unwell. Also about, you know, how do you forgive someone who's not around to feel forgiveness? Because, you know, mental illness isn't just like really sad. It's also really annoying.
It was weird going out with him though. I went out with him for a year and a half. And like every time he wouldn't text me back, I'd be like, is he ghosting me or has he died?
I mean, it doesn't sound that funny. And I don't know what the jokes are yet, per se. But there will be jokes.
Well, there are jokes in the current edition.
Yeah, well, the current one, it's, I think really there was like a 30-minute show that I just stretched out to an hour. Because like in the middle, there's just 20 minutes of me like telling sex stories that really don't make any sense, and that I begin talking about my dad, I finish talking about my dad, and in the middle I'm just like, and I had loads of sex. Like there's no, well, I hope there's no link between the two. He'd love that. Like that, that's what I say of like anytime people don't like parts of the show or like think it's disrespectful, I'll just be like, well, my dad would have loved that, because you know he's not here to argue otherwise. My dad would have loved to hear 20 minutes of me having sex with older men after he died. That was his type of humor. He'd have loved that. So, you know, doing it for him. The LA dating scene is really weird. There's a lot of really big age gaps there, but that suited me because I go out with older guys. I don't know what it is, but I'm very attracted to older men. My dad's dead. That's what it is. But yeah, I started comedy in LA. I was living in LA and I couldn't pay my rent. And I had this friend, and one night he was like, oh, I'll pay you to do stand-up comedy if you go to open mics, because you love comedy, so I might give you direction, and I'll give you like $20 for every minute you do. Like, I've never earned as much as I did in that first week. So just like, I looked up an open mic around, and I just wrote down like 5 minutes of jokes that were terrible, so bad looking back now. They were just shocking for the sake of shocking. And yeah, I wrote them out, memorized them, went to the open mic. That was just these two guys in like a dark room upstairs of some dive bar. And yeah, people laughed.
Although weirdly, he calls me that not because of my voice. He calls me the American drone because a lot of innocent children have died here.
It is quite like a boys' club as well, the scene in Ireland. People do want women on stage, so in some ways it's easier to get gigs, because people just want to have a woman on. There's these kind of cliques that it's hard to like even hang out with some people, because it does feel like they hate women.
The audience or the other comedians involved in the show or the managers?
Both. Audiences definitely, there's a distrust when you step on stage as a woman. Whereas then I feel that when a man goes on stage, you're given the benefit of the doubt that you're going to be funny. So you have to show that you're not funny. Whereas in a woman, it's assumed you're not funny. And I feel like there's just such this weird tightrope, because if you go on and be too confident, they're just like, you're not that great. But then if you go on and really self-deprecate, it's like, well, you know you're better than that. There's this weird mistrust from audiences. Like the amount of times I've just had people come up, you know, and women aren't funny. I thought you were funny, as if that's like, oh my God, I'm so special. I feel so amazing that you think I'm good, but no other woman is. It's just a stupid idea that's like really perpetuated. I feel like, especially in Ireland.
Yeah, I went out with a lot of older guys there. But then I realized, like, me and my friends that I grew up with were at like our late 20s, and they all started to grow up. I was talking to one of them, Becca, and I was like, oh, I heard you moved in with your boyfriend. And she was like, yeah, we actually bought a house together. She was doing that, and like, I was getting chlamydia. For an old guy to give you that, that's supposed to be like the one good thing about getting with older men, that you don't get an STD.
I'm writing a book that is sort of a memoir. It's about mental illness, and it's about my dad and me and both of our struggles. And it's kind of coming together as like a series of essays.
And what about similarities in character? Did he have a similar sense of humor to you?
Yeah, you know what? That's been interesting to write about, because I haven't like ever thought about that really, because it's hard for your brain to equate when someone is two different people. On one hand, he was an alcoholic who was very mentally ill, who like hurt me a lot before he killed himself. But he was also like a very fun dad that had a laugh all the time, believed in me so much. I've kind of ignored that second person because I don't know how to like compute it in my head. How do I marry those two people together? They're so opposing. And in the show that I did, there was no mention of that really. So in writing the book, it's forced me to think about that side of him. I think your brain, like when you're in grief, it forces you to forget certain things, because you think, oh, if I remember this, like I might fall down and never get back up again. You make yourself believe, like, well, he was just a bad dad. Well, you know, he hurt me a lot. Because if you let yourself acknowledge the good sides, then it's like, shit, how will I ever get over this then? So that's been kind of, I hate saying therapeutic, but I suppose it has been writing that, like just acknowledging the really good parts of him and the parts of me that are proud to be like him. Because when you had a dad that's like mentally ill, that killed himself, when you hear like you're your father's daughter, it is not a compliment at all. I don't want to be that man. So I think writing this has allowed me to, there's some parts that I'm like, you know what, I'm glad that I'm like him in that way.
Guys, it's so weird to end on that thing. That's gonna be.
Stand-up comedian Maurice Gohan there, and the reporter was Áine Gallagher.